Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest who's going to join us coming up after our first break here. But let me sneak this in here. Wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. All right, some of you might be shocked, but I am going to, I think I'm going to announce my support for a Democrat to be selected for the Montana legislature. All right, bear with me for just a second here. Amy Nile has a report that caught my eye at the Billings Gazette earlier this morning. Democrats select three nominees to replace Representative Emma Kerr Carpenter in the Montana House. So a Democrat state senator, I forget who the Democrat state senator was, one of these longtime left-wing activists. She announced that she is resigning from the state Senate. So, of course, now you have a vacancy in the state Senate. And then how do we fill vacancies in the state Senate? Well, the Democrat Party Central Committee of that various county where that legislator is from will come up with three names. And then they will give those three names to the Yellowstone County commissioners in this instance, and all three Yellowstone County commissioners are Republicans, but the three Republican Yellowstone County commissioners can only select from the three names that the Democrat Central Committee provides them. So they pick one of those three. So none of the three are likely to be good options in terms of having a good legislator in Helena, because they're all probably going to be these left-wing activists. But let's be honest, the Democrats are in the minority in the House, the Democrats are in the minority in the Senate, and they're going to be led by the radical transgender activists like Zoe Zephyr anyway. So it's a throwaway vote. It's a throwaway representative in the House. But I was reading the three names here. Who are the three names that the Democrats have put forward? They have put forward a retired psychiatrist, Dr. Mark Nicholson, and then artist and property manager Ann Ross. I'm not familiar with those two names, but I did see one of the names that made their list is this radical left-wing Billings City Councilwoman, Denise Joy. Ding, 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 ding. Here's what I'm thinking. If the Yellowstone County Commissioners select her, I mean, they just send some radical Democrat to Helena to join the rest of the radical Democrats in Helena to further be an embarrassment for the Democrat Party in Montana. But now they've opened up a seat on the Billings City Council. Now, the mayor could appoint some other radical left-wing wacko to replace Denise Joy, but I wonder, I think this mayor, while he might lean a little more left than I on a lot of things, than I and you, I think he might have an interest in getting a reasonable, better city council member. So maybe he would actually pick somebody good, and maybe a majority of the remainder of the city council would pick somebody actually good and decent to fill that slot. Now you get more common sense on the Billings City Council. So that's the opportunity I see there. Anyway, quick story to open things up with. Wait till you hear the great guest we've got coming up for you right after this, right here with Montana Talks.
securing America.
Tulsi Gabbard is President-elect Donald Trump's pick to lead the U.S. intelligence community. She served as a Democratic congresswoman representing Hawaii from 2013 to 2021 with an unsuccessful run for the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. In 2022, she became an independent, and in October, she changed her party affiliation to Republican. She is an Iraq War veteran and Army reservist, where she was promoted to lieutenant colonel 3 years ago. While in Congress, she served for 2 years on the House Homeland Security Committee. If she's Senate confirmed to the position of DNI, she could play a pivotal role in Trump's possible intelligence sector overhaul. She's also one of his most controversial nominees. Nearly 100 former national security officials signed a letter saying they're alarmed at the prospect of her as director. Meanwhile, she's getting support from more than 250 veterans who've signed their own letter, blasting her critics, calling attacks on her baseless. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Coming up on Wednesday's Montana Talks, Governor Greg Gianforte dropping in on our statewide show, plus an expert on the violent Venezuelan prison gang Tren de Aragua lives in Bozeman, Montana. He's going to join us on the show. And as you remember, the Department of Homeland Security now confirming that this violent Venezuelan gang now has a presence here in Montana. So that and more coming up on Wednesday's Montana Talks. We take you statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's saving money at Menards? Your pet destination. Menards carries pet food, treats, toys, and more. Treat your dog to the delicious taste of bacon with Purina Bacon Strips. They're made with real bacon that dogs go hog wild for. Bacon Strips are made without artificial flavors or colors and are available in a variety of savory flavors. Transform treat time with Purina Bacon Strips. A 40-ounce bag is $14.99 at Menards. Sale price good through December 15th.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Imagine holding the record in track and field. So you have held the record. You've held the record in your respective category in track and field, and your record has stood for 20 years, maybe even more than 20 years. And then there you are, you're volunteering at your alma mater, and you watch somebody else break your record. So imagine holding the record in track and field and then celebrating when someone else breaks your record. Some might find that very hard to do. Some people might be disappointed to see their record fall. But it wasn't hard for former Montana State University Bobcat track and field great Aaron Graff. Aaron Graff now with us here on Montana Talks. Aaron, always great to chat with you, my friend, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron.
So describe what took place. I think this was last Thursday at MSU.
Yeah, I was lucky that the track meet was a Thursday because normally they are Friday nights, Friday days, and with our kids as that are in high school, they have sports, and so I'm never able to get to these meets to work. So it was a rare opportunity that I actually got to be there. So I was excited to take Razel, my freshman daughter, to go work long jump with me for a six-hour day. So it started with girls long jump, and Haley pulls out a over 20 feet long jump. And the record is held by Lacey Hines-Peter, and that one, I think, is like from 2001. And her record is 20 feet 3, and Haley jumped 20 feet half inch, I think. And that was incredibly exciting. And Razel turns to me and says, "Mom, do you think she'll break your record in triple jump?" And I said, "Well, I sure hope so. You know, it's been 20 years. It's about time," which is how I have felt over the last 20 years. Anyway, so her first jump out was, I think it was 39.75 or something. So really close. That was exciting to measure that. Second jump, she was behind the board a bit, so it was shorter. I think that's what it was. Third jump, maybe it was a scratch. I can't remember. Fourth jump, she hit it, and I could see it in the sand. And I used to coach at MSU, too, and was really good at kind of being able to guess jumps pretty much down close to the inch. And I was like, oh, I think this is it. So putting that laser, we use lasers now instead of a tape measure. And you read it out, and they do the calculation. It goes up on a board. And sure enough, there it was. And it was just really exciting. It was fun to see her jump around and, you know, everybody scream. And that's just what makes sports so exciting.
Yeah. So you shared this update from MontanaSports.com. I think they published it either Friday or Saturday, maybe over the weekend.
Yeah.
Quote, Billings native, and I hope I pronounced her last name right, Billings native Haley Coey broke Aaron Jones Graf's Montana state record in the triple jump with a mark of, over 40 here. And you talked about, and so you kind of shared some thoughts on social media about how excited you were to see this record fall, and what you just shared about your daughter saying, wow, do you think she's going to break your record? And then you're both there watching as she breaks your record. Why were you so thrilled, as you described it, to seeing not just this record being broken, but didn't you hold like four records over the years at MSU?
Yeah, I've been excited for every one. My first two records that were broken like 10 years after I was done was by a girl I was coaching with my old coach, Tom Idol. Her name was Carly McCutcheon. And I just poured my heart into her because I could see her skill and talent. Like, this is the girl that could break my heptathlon and pentathlon records. And I worked with her for a few years. And her senior year, she was able to break those, which was just amazing to be a part of that and to see that. And I actually didn't get to see my outdoor triple jump record be broken, but I did have the Big Sky Conference pentathlon record, which is the indoor multi. I had the Big Sky Conference record for, I think that was maybe about 10 years also. And it was Lindsay Hall, a Grizzly, who broke that. And I would always help coach her at track meets when needed, when her coach had to run around because we're all friends. And Brian Schwain, he was an old Bobcat. And so Lindsay, I was also close with her, and it was so fun watching her break that record in Pocatello, and we ran to each other and hugged. And I don't know, for me, just thinking about girls continually doing better and doing better, and I think coming from small-town Montana and, you know, boys always racing me and just this desire to always show what girls could do, I just think has carried over my whole life. I just think the possibilities of what girls can do is just endless. And in sports, it's just the perfect place for girls to figure out their strengths and their confidence, to figure out how to work through, self-doubt and pain and injury, and everything that girls gain in sports is just incredible. So seeing records get broken just shows how much girls can do and how much we can continue to improve.
When I was chatting with Katie Whitehurst, she's a track athlete at the University of Montana, with Lily Meskers, the young lady that you got to meet as well when Riley Gaines was in town, I asked him, how did you get into track? Because Lily Meskers talked about racing the boys, racing anybody for $2 bets at high school football games, and that's how she got into track. And then Katie Whitehurst talked about growing up on a ranch in outside of Whitehall, and she would, you know, tie a rope to a tire and put a feed bag in there and drag that around. I'm assuming you must have trained out on the ranch south of Harlow.
Oh, I don't know. I just always loved seeing what I could do. And I think I appreciated track, you know, like field day one day a year in elementary school is my favorite day. And, you know, I'd go, and it's a small town, but I'd go win everything at field day. And it was the one place where I felt like I could truly just be me. And, you know, I did basketball, did volleyball. My coaches decide how much you play or how much others play. And, you know, track is just where it all gets to be up to you.
Your it's on effort you.
And your... Yeah, it's completely on you, and you get to decide to do seven events at state with two relays, or just one event. You just want to throw javelin. Like, you get a choice in how much you actually get to participate and how hard.
Very cool. Well, hold that thought, Aaron Graf, if you can stick with us, because I want to talk more about why you were excited about your records being broken. It's a great message, and then there's another very interesting angle to this story that our listeners are going to want to hear as well. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute. Good politics doesn't always make good tax policy. I don't know much about politics, but those who get elected to legislature certainly do. The art of the possible. Half a loaf is better than none. Slicing the pie, making the sausage. All those phrases and more refer to how things are done to gain votes and get things done. If you turn those talents loose on the Montana tax system to try to avoid the downsides of an increasingly unpopular property tax, what you get could be very ugly, specifically when it comes time to design a new tax that would replace the lost revenue. From a political perspective, you'd be just like a new tax to impose all of its burdens on somebody else. Out-of-staters, of course, and maybe just the rich. Or since most of us don't own businesses, we might slap it on businesses as well. And since we don't trust government, we make it sunset in a short time. All those hit political goals, but when it comes to raising revenue in ways that are as economically painless as possible, not so good. I'm Patrick Barfield.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A federal agency weighs a potential ban on red food dye. The Food and Drug Administration says it's reviewing a petition to ban red dye number 3 from being used in candy, drinks, and other food products. The FDA says the additive, which is used in thousands of products, is safe to consume, but critics raise concern about the dye being linked to health risks like cancer. Senior medical analyst Dr. Mark Siegel telling Fox and Friends,
it's been banned from skin products since the 1990s. So I wonder, why is it not allowed in skin products? Yet, you know, something you put on your face, mm-hmm. but yet a kid can eat it. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about that very bright cherry stuff. Brian is saying, what are cereals going to look like without this stuff? Look,
right.
It's been banned in the European Union, in the UK, throughout most of Asia, in Australia. Why are we so late, and why now?
The FDA says it'll review the petition and potentially act on it within the next few weeks. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady. Fox News.
For eligible...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, a few more minutes here with Aaron Graff, the former Montana State Bobcat great in track and field, grew up on a ranch south of Harlow, Montana. And her and her husband, Eigen, who also was in track and field at MSU. He's a great guy. If you remember, Eigen was on the show a few weeks ago. He's a great home builder there in the Gallatin Valley. His family goes back several generations in the Gallatin Valley, and he's been very involved with the National Association of Home Builders and was a past president of the Montana Home Builders Association. And so we talked housing prices and more, and housing availability with him just a while back. And but Erin, yeah, she's an incredible artist and painter. In fact, Erin, didn't you do a painting that that now is in Congressman Zinke's office back in Washington D.C. if I recall, right?
Yeah, he had asked me if I had something for his office, and I said, well, since I mostly only do commissions, I really didn't have anything at that time. So he and Lola and I, and mostly Lola and I, figured out something of Montana for him. So it's of Glacier Park, McDonald Creek, that is one of his favorite memories. So he gets to see that every day when he's at the office, which is just wonderful to remind him of home.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful painting. I got to see it. I can't remember if you had just finished it up or if it was still in progress at the moment. But, yeah, anybody who travels back to Washington, D.C., keep your eye out for that one. And if you've ever been to Warrior Taste Fest and you've seen some of the paintings that are done by several artists there where they finish the painting live right in front of your very eyes, I know you've contributed to that in the past as well. So, yeah, great stuff. So you share this. I've got your write-up on our Montana Talks website, and you talked about telling your daughter why it had been long enough that your records would stand. Because I've got to assume that if somebody holds a record, that they actually love being the record holder. And if somebody beats their record, well, now your name gets scratched off the wall and somebody else's name gets put up there instead. So that's why I think some people might be surprised that you were happy that your record was broken, because now somebody else's name is up there instead of yours. But you said this: I've been thrilled about every record of mine being broken. One, because broken records mean the betterment of women's sports and athletes. And two, because broken records continually show to the world the toughness and the strength of our girls and women through extreme hard work, pain and injury, lack of sleep, and being incredibly organized and focused. Anyway, anything else you wanted to add to that or just highlight there? I just thought it was a great message. Because, yeah, a lot of people would think, why did you want your name to be scratched off the wall?
Well, I think the last thing we want in any circumstance is for things to be stagnant, for things to just stay the same. And it shows in you know, world culture, mostly Western culture in America, just a continual advancement. And so last thing we want is our girls to just reach their peak potential and then it's done. Like, why continue with sports if it can't get better? So I this was actually probably my weakest record, which was kind of surprising that it was still there. And so I have no doubt how Haley will just continually push that further out. But it was just kind of surprising over the years. It's just like, man, that's the last thing I want is that 40-foot record to stay there forever. Like, there's, it needs to be further, just because that's the potential of our girls, of our women all across Division I athletics. So it was exciting just to see for just sport in general, okay, now that's been improved. And then eventually someday someone will break Haley's record, and then that one will get record. And the last thing we want is for records to stop being broken, because then, like I said, what's the point in doing sports if there's, if records can't be broken anymore?
It's such a testament to the American spirit of always pressing forward and looking out over the next horizon. You also shared your thoughts about the importance of protecting women's sports in what you described as an impassioned plea to save girls in our sports. And, you know, it's fascinating because here you are, you're working the pits, you're volunteering to help out at your alma mater, you watch your own record get broken, you talked about why you were so excited to see that. But then another thought came across your mind, apparently, as you're standing there, mm-hmm. and you were so happy that your women's track record was broken by a young lady and not by a man, not by a man. I mean, isn't it crazy that that thought actually crosses your mind, has to cross your mind now?
Yeah, well, it crosses my mind all the time. And the thing is, I was paying attention to this change sooner than a lot of people. It's been happening really since the early 2000s. And I think it was just so rare, nobody was really noticing. A big shift, and many Montanans don't know this or didn't realize it, there was a Grizzly distance runner, a kid from Belgrade originally, that was on the men's team at Missoula for a few years, and then spent a year transitioning and then competed on the girls' team and won the Big Sky Conference title. I think it was in the indoor mile, I think it was. Maybe it was 800. I think it was the mile. But it was a man that was competing as a girl and was so far ahead. And you can look it up on YouTube and see the race. But I remember when that happened. And I actually, you know, a year later or so, I said something on social media about this issue. And one of the officials reached out to me privately through Facebook and just said he was working that conference meet. And he almost quit being a track and field official when that happened because he was so disheartened and disenfranchised. And for me, too, I lost support, you know, emotionally for the NCAA as these things started becoming more and more common. And I just thought, for a program that helped me be an athlete, why are they suddenly not helping our girls anymore? But that was a big circumstance. A lot of Montanans didn't know what's happening in our own state. So while our state is protected a lot more now, other states aren't as protected, and they're encouraging this replacement of our girls. So it's crazy that that popped into my mind, you know, shortly after the celebration, and it was like a sigh of relief. Oh, I'm so glad I just didn't be a boy, jumped out, and I had to measure that. I'm so glad it was a girl. And I just hope that eventually, like, it's only girls that have any records in any sport, but that's not the case. There's been records broken by men.
Yeah, you said it is our girls who deserve to be national champions, Olympians, and record holders. And then you said, you know, Haley deserves this record, and the next girl after her, who knows, maybe even your daughter could be that record holder.
Yeah.
And that was such a great way to make that point. You and I talked off air during the break as well that, you know, you're not just trying to speak out against, you know, the transgender issue and men trying to take away and men, you know, trying to, you know, take part in women's sports, but you're simply making the point that how important sports are for kids and for girls. And I think it was your husband, Eigen, who raised that very point in a Q&A session with Riley Gaines when she was in Bozeman. He said, people need to understand that there are tryouts for a lot of these teams. And that one spot that's taken by that man might be the one spot that your daughter would have had to be on that team. And being on a sports team or not, being involved in any activity or not, could be what decides the future path for these kids, whether they head down a path of positivity or whether they head down a path of alcohol and who knows else what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything in sports ties over to, female athletes have higher GPAs. They're less likely to drop out of school, get pregnant, drink alcohol. There's so many tie-overs to the success of the future life of a girl when they're done with sports that is tied over to her involvement in the sports. So even, I've pointed out to people before, what is okay and acceptable once means that it's okay and right all the time. So if you say that you have five starting transgender women on a women's basketball team and all five of them end up starters, could every person say that that is also okay? So if it's okay with one, say San Jose State, you have this girl and everybody says, well, it's so rare. It's, this boy that says he's a girl. You say this is okay because it's just one circumstance. But what if that entire team was transgender? You can't say that's okay too. So if it's not okay in any circumstance, then it can't be okay in one circumstance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, good, great point. Our producer, Caden, he's a big sports guy. He had a good question here. How do today's athletes compare to, say, athletes from 10 to 20 years ago when you set those records?
I don't know. I think there's been a little bit of a tapering off. I think one of the biggest help in the advancement of all sport is training. AI and now you can get on certain treadmills with hookups and wires that says what you're doing and what needs to change, and your foot pattern, your stride pattern, even spikes, shoes, turf, clothing. Riley Gaines has talked about the swimsuits they wear. 20 years ago, it wasn't that technology. So a lot of the advancements too, I think, is coming with better understanding of training and better understanding of equipment, and then you add in technical wires and computers and all that help too. So a lot of things have changed. I don't know what the limit is for the body. I don't know if we'll ever know what the limits are going to be for the male or the female body. Only the future can tell that, I guess.
Food and supplements. I mean, there's been advancements in nutrition.
Personal understanding. Yeah.
Yeah, the understanding of salt and hydration for recovery. I mean, all sorts of things. Yeah, who would have thought all this stuff even just 20 years ago?
Changes in weight training and, it's many things that have changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Graff, such an honor to catch up with you as always. Thanks so much for joining us. And thanks for speaking out as well, because I know so many people, unfortunately, they just feel intimidated or pressured from speaking out because they just don't want to face any potential blowback.
Yeah. And the more that speak out, the more people will understand and be brave to speak out, too. So
do you have any time to do any more paintings if people are looking to get some artwork commissioned out there, or are you too tied up for now?
That's my full-time job. Just finished a 4-feet by 5-feet painting yesterday that's shipping to Fargo.
Wow.
So,
how can people get a hold of you if they want to see more of your art, et cetera?
Yeah. They can go to my website, aaronjonesgraff.com, and all my contact information is there, and ordering a commission. Thanks, Aaron.
Hey, yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for your time. Great to catch up with you as always. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Yes, if we don't see you before then. All right. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Quick break here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We've got the phone lines open coming up in the next half of this hour.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. What should we talk about next? I got to prioritize here. Some days, you think you got all the time in the world. And then before you know it, boom, the time is already up. We've got a busy lineup coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte joining us. We're going to talk about his budget proposal and much more. Of course, his budget proposal has already been released. This is in anticipation of the upcoming legislative session, which kicks off the first week of January. Plus, I don't know if you've heard, the governor is doing this whole 12 days of giving thing. And it's really cool. He's highlighting different charities that are out there, other ways to give back to veterans groups and more. And Governor Greg Gianforte, for those of you who didn't know this or maybe forgot, he donates his entire salary. He takes the entire salary as governor and donates it to charities and to good causes. And in fact, let's see, a little over a week ago, when Denny Rehberg was graciously filling in for us on the show, that was the day, Giving Tuesday, when we hosted our annual Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon. And it was either that same day or maybe the day before or the day after, because I was out. But it was so cool because I remember this around the same time period that we were doing our Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon. Governor Greg Gianforte announced that he was donating a quarter of his annual salary to that very organization, Warriors in Quiet Waters. And of course, I've been honored to serve on the National Advisory Board for Warriors in Quiet Waters. In fact, Eigen Graf, Aaron's husband, who we just talked with, Eigen Graf, has been a longtime incredible servant to our veterans vis-a-vis Warriors in Quiet Waters. He's been a fellow National Advisory Board member as well. Let's see. So we got the governor coming up, and then we've also got this is kind of like Bozeman Day on the show, I guess. We've got former FBI agent. This guy is an expert on Trende Aragua. Trende Aragua is that violent Venezuelan prison gang that has invaded, 16 states, including Montana, thanks to our wide open borders. And anyway, so, but this guy lives in Bozeman. In fact, he heard some of our previous coverage on TDA, Trende Aragua. He said, hey, I had a bunch of people reach out and say, you should join Aaron Flint on his show. And so I'm so glad that our listeners let him know, because I'm looking forward to hearing his take on Trende Aragua coming up next hour. Let's see. I had an email here. This was from Matt in Butte. And it's a great email. It kind of ties in with this conversation, too, that we've been having about young people and students and which path they will take. Matt says this, and I'll just read the full email here. It's a few paragraphs, but I think it's worth it here. As more details come out about this Ivy League honor student who murdered the healthcare company CEO, allegedly, a picture of, quote, buying into and acting upon the brainwashing is forming. These kids get indoctrinated about the evils of the world in K through 12 and in college. Trump is orange Hitler. Why didn't someone take out Hitler? Taking out Hitler would make you a hero. And at least two people came pretty close to succeeding in taking out Trump. And so he's making this great point here that and look at the way that there are people that are actually celebrating this deranged young man who murdered that healthcare CEO. They're just celebrating it. There were some that were expressing their sadness that the alleged killer was finally found by law enforcement. He says this, Matt says, I have friends and colleagues who have received credible threats and even vandalism because they work in natural resources and power industries. So again, another good point here is that these people think that because a healthcare company makes the wrong decision that they don't like, or because there's an industry out there that you don't like, that somehow you're justified in killing somebody who works for that industry, whether it's the CEO or anybody else for that matter. Well, look at the attacks on, like Matt pointed out, our natural resource industry. Could they do the same thing to you if you work in oil, gas, coal, or hydropower, or any sort of electric utility production that they deem as evil and worthy of them taking out? I mean, we've seen the way that a lot of these recent mass shooters have been radical transgender activists who've been told that you are trying to extinct them. You are trying to make them extinct. Well, if you were told that somebody was trying to make you extinct, wouldn't you try to make them extinct? And so they are justifying deranged psychopathic killers. In a country, Matt continues here, in a country of 330 million people, a well-orchestrated propaganda campaign can find enough weak-minded people to act while those responsible feign innocence regarding the consequences of their words. Being smart doesn't mean that you are also wise. Such a great point there. Being smart doesn't mean that you are also wise. Were any of you surprised when you heard that this alleged killer, this alleged shooter of the healthcare company CEO, went to an Ivy League college? I know I wasn't. Why wasn't I surprised that he went to an Ivy League college? Why would somebody with an education like that, why would somebody with a background like his, apparently this kid grew up in a wealthy background, probably had a lot handed to him. Why was I not surprised? Look at how many of these radical Islamists, these Islamic radicals who ended up becoming terrorists, high-profile terrorists or committing terrorist attacks, how many of them went to Ivy League institutions? How many of them came from a very wealthy background? So when you see, you know, a laundry list of wealthy Trustafarian kids who went to Ivy League, oftentimes anti-American spouting institutions that then commit terrorist attacks, whether it's against we, the people of the United States of America, or killing the CEO of a healthcare company, why would any of us be surprised that some rich kid who went to an Ivy League school is the suspect here? Yeah, I'm sorry. That was just the honest reaction that I had after, you know, 20 plus years, as we've been, and more for some of you, watching this war on terrorism or the lack thereof, right? All right, switching tracks. What's one other thing I wanted to get to here? The Disney family in Libby, Montana. Man, I always get such great information from them and such great reactions too. We've touched on this before, but we need to remind people once again. So Donald Trump, in his Meet the Press interview on NBC on Sunday morning with Kristen Welker, one of the things he talked about was ending this entire notion of birthright citizenship. And I made the point earlier in the week as I played this soundbite from President Trump. Because President Trump was basically saying, look, we need to end birthright citizenship. If it takes an amendment to the Constitution, if we the people got to do it to get it done, we got to get it done. And I made the point, which, of course, President Trump made this point during his first term in office. What is birthright citizenship? Birthright citizenship is where they say that, all right, you're an illegal alien from China, or you're a tourist from China, and you came to Los Angeles for a vacation that just so happened to coincide with the birth of your baby. The baby's born in Los Angeles. Ding, 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 ding. Your baby's an American citizen. And so that encourages more illegal aliens, more illegal immigration, because they say, all we got to do is get across the finish line. Ding, 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 ding. Our kids are American citizens. That's not what the Constitution said. That's not how the Constitution was written. That is not what the founders intended. That's not the way it was done. This was all changed through judicial fiat. Anyway, the Disney family in Libby, they sent me a great email, and they said, hey, Mark Levin was hammering this point home. I briefly touched on it here on this show earlier in the week, but they might have missed it. You might have missed it. But either way, I briefly touched upon it. But I also said, hey, I think somebody called out NBC News for selectively leaving out a few key words. And then I found the story I was looking for. Yeah, here we go. Senator Mike Lee out of Utah took NBC News to task for selectively omitting a key part of the 14th Amendment in a question about birthright citizenship during an interview with President-elect Donald Trump on Sunday. Trump was asked about a number of changes he intends to implement once he assumes office during a sit-down released on Meet the Press, including his plan to end birthright citizenship. This is from FoxNews.com. Anyway, I'll tell you the exact words that Mike Lee was pointing out regarding the 14th Amendment, and I'll share more from the Heritage Foundation as well right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Daniel Penny's so-called victim. We've gone over some of this in the past. It's worth repeating. Gordon Neely had 42 prior arrests for multiple violent assaults and other crimes. He had punched a 67-year-old woman, subway rider, in the face, leaving her with a broken eye socket, and then decked a 68-year-old man in a separate subway attack. You know, too much of the media coverage of Daniel Penny and the verdict gives the impression that the so-called victim, Jordan Neely, was merely a poor, beleaguered, homeless guy who was just begging for food and simply lost control of his emotions, which frightened a bunch of overly sensitive, you know, subway riders, which is not the case.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, if you're scrambling to think about a good present for your loved ones, well, you can gift them peace of mind with a Burner less lethal launcher, or maybe just treat yourself. Now, with the Burner, you can be confident that you and your family are prepared to defend yourselves against any potential threat. It's simple to use. Now, the Burner launcher is safe. It is an effective defense solution equipped with powerful non-lethal deterrents, including tear gas and kinetic rounds. You also can hit a target 60 feet away. It's capable of stopping any perpetrator or attacker right in their tracks. Why choose Burner? Because protecting your loved ones should never be a compromise. Now, it's legal in all 50 states. There's no background check required, no permit needed, and it can easily be shipped directly to your door. Now, that's why Burner is trusted by over 500 government agencies, police departments, and private security firms. Just go to Burner, BYRNA.com/Hannity to get a 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Hannity. 10% off any purchase.
Or at go.bayer.com/purpose. Paid for by Bayer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, let me just do the bottom line up front because I know I'll try to make the point. I'll give you the background before you know it. We're out of time. The bottom line up front from a Montana perspective that I think Montanans would find most interesting about this story about the 14th Amendment and this birthright citizenship concept. If anybody deserved citizenship at birth, who would that be? Who would that be? If anybody deserved birthright citizenship, who would that be? You're right. Native Americans. They were here before any of us. They were here before this country. They were here at the start of this country and in higher numbers than any other ethnic category. They defend this country. So if anybody deserved birthright citizenship, it would be Native Americans. Then how come Native Americans didn't get the right to vote until 100 years ago? Why did it take over 100 years for Native Americans to get citizenship, to get the right to vote? They were obviously born in this country, and their ancestors were here long before us and our ancestors were, the rest of us and our ancestors were. I would say us, but obviously we got a lot of great Native Americans listening to the show as well here, right? Because the 14th Amendment did not say, nor did the founders intend for the 14th Amendment to say, all right, anybody who breaks into this country illegal, anybody who just shows up whenever, you're born here, you're a citizen. No. And you notice when Kristen Welker asked President Trump about the 14th Amendment, she didn't read the full actual portion that deals with citizenship. She only used a few words. Mike Lee, let's see, he shared a clip of the exchange on X later Sunday, rebuking the NBC host for omitting six critical words from the 14th Amendment in her question to Trump. Quote, all persons born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof shall be citizens of the United States, Lee wrote. She left out and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. those words matter, he added. Now, Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation, and thanks to the Disney family for sharing this one with me, because this was published back in October of 2018 when the debate came up back then, and I remember talking about it at the time. But he details here on why this idea that anybody born in the United States is not a citizen, why that is. Let's see. I know we're short on time. Anyway, you can check out the full write-up at the Heritage Foundation. It's by Hans von Spakovsky from back in October of 2018. But yeah, he makes the point in here. American Indians and their children did not become citizens until Congress passed the Indian Citizenship Act of 1924. There would have been no need to pass such legislation if the 14th Amendment extended citizenship to every person born in America, no matter what the circumstances of their birth, and no matter who their parents are. We would not have needed to pass that in order to grant citizenship if that's the way it always was. But again, judicial activism is the reason. Now, I think the current United States Supreme Court could rectify this whole thing. You don't even need an amendment to the Constitution. We already have a Constitution. They just need to enforce the Constitution the way it is. But I don't know if the current Supreme Court would do that or have a challenge in order to do just that. But that's what I think would be the easiest way to fix this. Yeah, it's painful to share the truth sometimes, but some of you are dealing with real pain right now. Not just figurative pain. You're dealing with pain in your hips, pain in your knees, pain in your back. You're not getting out there and going for that hike that you'd normally like to go for. You certainly didn't want to haul an elk out of the hills because, man, that would have got your back for sure if your shoulder could even do it. Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They specialize in regenerative medicine. They take the healing properties of your own body to attack the root cause of your pain, revitalizing your joints so you can move again without drugs and without surgery. Call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. That's 406-201-6263, QC Kinetics.
Getting
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.